Amen. We're going to move into our text this morning. We're going to jump right in here. I want to go right to 1 Timothy chapter 5. I want to read verse 22. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, and the Word of God reads this way. It says, "Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure." Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. Last week we looked at chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, as he was helping Timothy to understand how the church lives well and how everyone is treated with dignity and respect, and how you take care of people because you care for people. We're commanded to love God, but we're also commanded to love people. If leaders don't love God, if leaders don't love people, then we have a problem. And here is saying, be careful. Don't lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in their sins, but keep yourself pure. Instructions given by wise Paul to a young Timothy. I'd like to preach as the Lord guides today from Leading Well, the title Leading Well. Leading Well. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ, He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We thank you, Lord, for meeting us here now, and we invite your presence to be fully with us now. We need a word from you.
Yes, God.
Send your word in its fullness and in its power. We need a word from you, Lord God. Lord, we know life ain't easy, but we know your yoke is.
Thank you.
Your burdens are light. So guide us, Lord. Guide us in the ways of everlasting. Lead us, Lord. Lead us by your word. Feed us by your word.
Yes, God.
Until we want no more. Hallelujah. Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name,
thank
we pray.
You.
Amen. You know, it is very easy to put the church in a box. It is very easy to consider church to be just like everything else. Leadership is something that's talked about in every circle. In corporate America, leadership means to move up the corporate ladder. In professional sports, leadership means to work from the sidelines to navigate things, or even to be in the front office. But every circle has some form of leadership. In the military, there's forms of leadership as you move up through the ranks, that the leadership is almost not automatic, but in some cases set up, that you move from one step to the next step. But spiritual leadership is quite different. It is quite different. It is not something that's done in steps. Oh, there is a process. But leadership means that someone called you, and that person is God. That God has to call you to oppose. Sometimes we don't recognize that God has called us to oppose. We'll recognize that a need may exist. And sometimes we'll move in the direction of a need, but just because of a need don't mean you're called. Just because you see the need don't mean you're called. What means you're called is that you're staying in it. That when you're called to something, you're in it for the long haul. I learned very young as I looked at my own pastor's work and his work in ministry. He's been leading over 45 years now. He's called somewhere, and he's been in it through the ups and through the downs. And the reality is, Paul has been in ministry for quite some time now. But young Timothy is now in Ephesus, and sometimes he may feel alone. But one thing is clear. He's made some mistakes. And I don't care what position you hold anywhere, that you will make some mistakes. But the key is, once you make mistakes, you learn from those mistakes.
Yes.
So Timothy is being offered some guidance to move away from the mistakes that he made in the past. Some of the headaches of ministry that he can navigate through in a better way by getting wisdom from someone who's done this before. When we look at the text, we see some things going on inside the leadership. And inside the leadership, there are people who may not have been paid well. In the leadership, there are people been put in position too soon. In the leadership, there are people who've been removed from leadership too soon. That all of these things can impact the family. That we must remember that this all, when we talk about church, we're talking about the extended family of God. That we're charged with honoring those who are in leadership. But the question is, how should we honor the leaders? How should we honor our leaders? How should we honor our leaders? Well, first, we should honor those who labor well. We should honor those who labor well. It's interesting. When I look at the text, I kept thinking of this. It kept coming to my mind. To bite the hand to feed you. Y'all heard that saying, bite the hand to feed you.
Yes.
To bite the hand to feed you. It's like, it makes no sense to bite the hand that's feeding you, to bite the hand that's helping you and to grow you, that's helping to nurture you, that's helping to sustain you, that's helping to strengthen you. It makes no sense. 1 Thessalonians tells us, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12, it was a reminder. It says, and I urge you, brethren, brothers and sisters, to recognize those who labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you. Who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. That encourage and correct you so that you can run this race well. That our text is speaking about something that I want to take notice of. Now, I'm the first pastor at New Victory Christian Church, the very first pastor at New Victory Christian Church, but there will be pastors that's going to follow me. And the pastors that follow me should be in a better position than the pastor that preceded them. So it's very important for all of us to look at where we are and who's coming next, because the family will continue. The family will continue. But if we look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, and I want to read verse 17 and 18 for you. I want you to listen to this. It's to command those who, verse 17. It says, let the elders who rule well, lead well, is another word that can be used there, counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine and preaching and teaching, rather. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the labor is worthy of his wages. The labor is worthy of his wages. Now, what's interesting here, Deuteronomy chapter 24 and 4 talks about the ox who is treading out grain, that he's laboring hard work all day long, that they don't muzzle him, but he feeds from his labor. And the same connotation is given here, that elders or pastors are to be fed from their labors, from their preaching and from their teaching, that the church has a responsibility to make sure that their pastors are taken care of. And every pastor after me, that was what's going to happen. All those things that are set up so that the pastor is not someone who's laboring and has no peace in his labor. That's important. That's important. Our souls are being strengthened and nurtured by the preached word. The Hebrew writer says it this way, Hebrews 13 and 17. He says it this way. It says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch over your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief.
Yes, yes.
For that would be unprofitable for you. That we don't bite the hand that feeds us. We recognize that there's a calling, that God sent somebody who's called to share his truth with you. That God is called. I know I'm called, and I wrestle with the call in itself, because it boggles my absolute mind how I can get up day after day and focus on the same things and keep moving in the direction where God has called me. It is not a strength that I muster, yes, but it must be a strength that he deposits.
Yes, yes.
I know it's not Hallelujah. Me, because I would give up. But because he called me,
thank
he
you.
Put me. The scripture tells us, faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. I've been preaching 14 years, 14 years, and I've enjoyed every moment associated with the preaching.
Yes.
I've had the ups and the downs, but I've also gained great pleasure in seeing people live well from the word that was shared with them.
Yes.
What makes my day is to see God's people living well, because they've been fed well by the word of God. Paul wants Timothy to be focused. He wants Timothy to recognize, see, Timothy is set up as an overseer in Ephesus. So there are other elders other than Timothy. And he's ensuring Timothy that make sure that the elders, the pastors that are in the area, that are in the region, that they're being taken care of, that they're being paid for laboring in the word, because preaching and teaching is hard work. It's hard work. And he wants them to gain the recognition. Notice it says double honor. They are worthy of double honor. There are two pieces going with double honor. And most of us, we're honored. If you go to a job, you'll get honored by your pay. That's one way to honor someone. But double honor is to pay them respect and recognition, and then also compensation. So there's a double honor. There's the piece of compensation, but then there's the piece of honoring them with your lips. There's that double connotation there. That's why I wanted you to see that. There's honor plus an honorarium. And if you haven't seen this before, I mean, many of us have a background in the church, and we've seen this happen, where there is an honoring of someone by their mouth, by recognizing for their service, recognizing for their labors, recognizing for their hardships and their suffering. But then there's also some kind of monetary gift. And the truth of the matter is, we can never pay people what they're worth. We can never do it. especially those who are ministering the word of God. But we can honor them. We can honor them the best we can. I love the thought of this because
Hallelujah. When
we honor anybody else for something, it's almost a natural thing to say somebody's birthday. We want to honor them on their birthday. We say happy birthday and we give them a gift. And it's no different here, that we honoring them for serving well and how they lead and how they're preaching and teaching the truth of God faithfully. Amen. And we're going to do this. We'll keep doing this from one generation to the next generation, because we don't want them to be in a place where they don't have any joy in their labors. Hallelujah, somebody. I know. So, you know, sometimes I'm in awe, because the passages that we share, if you read the whole Bible and you share the whole Bible, teaching the whole Bible, you must deal with every issue that the church faces. That every time you deal with a passage in the scripture and you move along every passage, you got to deal with every passage. So I'm glad that have an opportunity to speak about this. I have never had an opportunity to share this truth, to double honor those who labor in the preaching and the teaching. But here's the next thing. Because something must have happened that people weren't paid well. But then also people were removed too soon. Not only were people not paid well, but they got fired too fast. And our culture today, firing is whenever something is not satisfied, you fire somebody at the top. Somebody's head's got to roll. If a mistake is made, you see in sports, you see coaches go by the wayside whenever there's not a winning season. All these standards of performance, and somebody's head's got to roll when the performance isn't what's expected. That, and no one person is accountable for all of it, but somebody's got to pay the price. But in the church, that's not the way that it is. In the church, calling matters and character matters. Calling matters and character matters. And it's not just results, but how the person lives and how the person responds to his calling. I'm going to share a word with you. Jesus grew in favor with both God and man. I want you to get that. That he increased in favor with both God and man. His calling was clear from God, but his character won men favor too. That all of us, when we think about calling, character and calling go hand in hand. The character is something that is sharpened and built up. Now, I understand that there are a lot of qualifications that were listed for an elder. Remember, it said an elder must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his house well, having children in submission, with all reverence. Now, all of these things speak to the character of the person. That's not saying that the person is perfect, but it's saying the person is moving in the direction where God is shaping him. I got to wrestle with this with you. I got to wrestle with this because for some reason, character doesn't seem to matter today. That results matter more than character. But not in the church. Character matters more than results. In fact, character helps the results come to pass.
Yes.
All of us should be looking more and more
Hallelujah.
Like Jesus every day. We don't kick people to the curb. Because we recognize they've been called.
Yes.
So, these instructions are given. that when people have done wrong, you don't get rid of them quickly. You don't remove leaders too quickly.
Hallelujah.
So verse 19, do not receive an accusation against an elder except for two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing in partiality. The favoritism, not in leadership. No. That you're not going to play favorites, that there's right and wrong. There is a black and white here. There's right and wrong. But the most important thing, when there ever is an accusation, there must be witnesses. There must be witnesses. And if there should be sin, it needs to be dealt with publicly. Now, I'm saying this. This is about elders. It must be dealt with publicly. And then sin should not be covered over. You know, I know there's some things that are going on in other faiths or other faith groups where there have been sexual abuse and other things, and the accusation that these things are being covered over by the leadership, that all of these things are supposed to be out in the open, that leaders are not shielded by the church. But once these accusations have been heard, then we have to respond to them. But we don't move hastily, because these people are called. Whoever's being accused of is called, and their character is under attack. Their calling is being impacted because of their character. And I'm going to say this too. But some people, what's happening is that the charismatic leader is given more favor than those who are less charismatic. Y'all hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Those who are gifted in the sense of the gab and charisma are given favoritism and allowed to function however they want to function, even though their character is flawed. But the text says no. Accusations must have. We don't kick anybody to the curb. That we must realize God has equipped the call. And if God has equipped the call, then our job is for restoration. Hall.
Yes.
Where am I going? You know, when we think about someone who's made a mistake, someone who sinned, someone who's fallen, the goal isn't to put them in a corner and leave them there. The goal is to restore them.
Yes, hallelujah.
To restore them because they've been called. But to deal with the issue. If the sin is present, then we deal with the sin so that the person can function.
Thank you.
Galatians says this best. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Galatians chapter 6. It says, brethren, or brothers and sisters, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, listen to this, you who are spiritual, restore such a one
Hallelujah.
In a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Oh. Then it says, bear Hallelujah. One another's burdens and so fulfill the love of Christ. What is the love of Christ? To love one another.
Thank you.
For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself.
Yes, God.
Oh, that's what happens.
Hallelujah.
When you think you're perfect, then, and somebody's made a mistake and you know about it, and somehow you've elevated yourself above the person who made a mistake.
Jesus.
No! Scripture's made it clear, all of us are sinners saved by grace.
Thank you.
All of us. And we don't kick people to the curb. We want them to come back. Because we want to be restored when we fall. I may put on a appearance. I hope I don't. I'm trying to share my mistake. I make a lot of mistakes. And if you don't believe me, ask my wife. I like make a lot of mistakes. But when those mistakes are made, I learn from my mistakes. God has equipped us to grow and to help others be restored. When someone restores you, don't you think your heart would be more open to the restoration?
Yes, yes.
The restoration of others? We must not remove leaders too quickly. We must remember it's a holy calling. It is God's hand on their life. He equipped them. How many of us can think? I mean, how can we even think that we can have the power to take people out of service once God has called them to service?
Yes, God.
But then we should honor leaders by not appointing them too soon. We shouldn't be appointing people too quickly. Not too quickly. I just bought a truck. And this truck took some time looking for it. I looked at a couple places, a used truck. Did my research to find out who owned it, how many owners, how much maintenance was done on the truck. Was it any accidents? Because I planned, if I purchased the truck, I planned to have the truck and drive the truck for a considerable period of time. How much more important, isn't it, for us to examine those who are going to move into some kind of leadership role? That we should also see them through seasons.
Yes.
Okay. That we got to see. God send us the leaders. No doubt. God will send us the leaders we need. No doubt about it. But the text letting us know, because this was the problem, y'all. You see, you know why the gospel is the gospel? Because the gospel always takes care of a problem, and the gospel always shares the solution. That's the gospel, problem, solution. And the solution always is Christ Jesus, his blood, his resurrection from the dead. That's the solution. But when we see what the problem was leadership, and leadership were moving people too quickly, and now we're seeing the leadership were laying hands on people too soon, ordaining people too soon, when they hadn't seen them through the seasons of life.
Yes,
so everything looks great and wonderful in the springtime, but let the fall come. Let the winter come and see if it's still standing and
Thank
see
you.
If it's still able to stand the test of time. Leaders must be able to stand the test of time.
Thank you.
That's why we should give time for self-examination, because character matters. Character matters. Let's look at the text. The text, and I'm almost done. This is the last verse. 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, 5th chapter, verse 22. It says, "Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in the people's sin. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities." It's a personal letter to Timothy. I'll share with you in a minute. "Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. Some things show up soon, some things show up later. Likewise, good works. Some things clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden." That it's important to understand the two things going on. That when we're examining anyone for any leadership post, any wherever God has sent them, We're looking both to see if anything shows up over time that's negative, and looking also to see those things that are positive. We're looking at both and wearing them both.
Amen.
Now, Timothy's got to deal with these issues because he can't escape them. Because some leaders are gone. Some leaders are gone. The other leaders aren't going to be needed. But he's saying, don't put new leaders in place because old leaders are gone. Don't hastily do this, but take the time to evaluate. Take the time to spend time with them. Paul knows Timothy well, and he wants us to see that he knew what Timothy was going through. Timothy had an ulcer. You know, an ulcer can come about because of stress. So in verse 23, he says, no longer drink water only. He says, also drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. Drink a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. He said, this is medicine for you, because he's been worrying a lot. I laugh because it's amazing the things that you'll carry, but it's also good to have someone that can see where you've been and can lead you past what you're in. Paul is able to lead him past what he's in, but letting him know that there's some things are good for him and some things are not. But still, the decisions that he makes are still going to be very important for him. We don't want to go and we don't want to be an accomplice to anyone's sin. That's the most important thing. We don't want to be accomplice to anyone's sin. So you evaluate over time, because you don't want to show that you're somehow supporting what is wrong in the eyes of others. So we wait. We wait. We wait, we wait, we wait, we wait. That we wait for the seasons. If you get married, and some advice, you're getting married, you're thinking about someone, you better wait until you see them over some seasons.
So yes.
That someone's going to stand the test of time with you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The point of all of this is that Jesus Christ, he led well. Paul sees himself as someone who is following in Jesus' footsteps. And everybody that Paul has laid hands on, he's encouraging them to follow in the same footsteps. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. He doesn't want people to get their focus off. He wants them to remember they've been called. They've been called by God. So they're going in the same direction he's going in. But he wants them to realize that sometimes you can't see everything. But if you keep your eyes on me, I'm still going.
Yes.
We're going to go in the same direction. We shared that earlier. But the most important thing about all of this, don't put your hands on people too soon. We lead well when we lead like Jesus. That he leads like a shepherd. And when we think about how the shepherd leads even the ones who goes astray, he'll go after them. The text says he leads them beside the still waters.
Yes,
he restores their soul, doesn't he? And he leads them the path of righteousness for his name's sake. The scripture says that even though he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, he will fear no evil. Why?
Thine
is with us. Jesus. That we lead like a shepherd. Lead like a shepherd. He's going to preach and teach the word of God. That he was going to remain. He's going to remain where he's called, because God equips who he calls. And after he equips you, he's also going to send you to where you are assigned. The last thing I want to share is sometimes things may seem muddy. Don't have the clarity that you need, but you have to stand on God's word.
Thank you.
The word of God says, faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. I don't know all the things that Timothy had to wrestle through. But I do know some of these things he's wrestling with are some things that many of us wrestle with all the time, the relationships, yeah, and putting people in position to be in the right place at the right time. But God says, faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. He's going to do this.
Thank you.
If he's going to, remember who called you, that he's, yeah, going to do the heavy lifting. But the text tells us to bear one another's burdens in Galatians.
Yes.
And so fulfill the law of Christ. That we hold in each other up. Even when those are falling down, we are holding each other up.
Hallelujah.
So tonight, or this morning rather, I want to pray that we hold each other up.
Thank you.
That Christ died and rose again. That all of us would have power, that all of us would have the strength that we need to be a help to someone else and to offer the,
yes,
hope that is needful. Let us pray. Father, we come in the name